Bible Study, Chapter 14. The Gifts That Build Up the Benefit of the Church. Gifts That Build Up and the Order of Worship. Did the Apostle Paul exhort us to desire prophecy, especially among the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Looking at the Bible, it is correct that the Apostle Paul exhorted us to desire prophecy, especially among the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He did not deny gifts, but taught that it should be a life of testifying the Word of God that brings benefit to the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, Paul says this: Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. In this word, Paul first says to set love as the most important standard, and then he exhorts to desire spiritual gifts, but especially to seek prophecy. The reason Paul emphasized prophecy is because prophecy gives direct benefit to the church community. He explains it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That is, he explains that prophecy plays the role of building up the church, exhorting the saints, and comforting the saints. Also, Paul speaks of the difference while comparing tongues and prophecy. He says that tongues can be a benefit to the individual, but prophecy is a gift that builds up the whole church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. However, the important point in Paul's teaching is that he emphasized love before prophecy. After he says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is more important than all gifts, he then explains the principle of using gifts. Paul's teaching is as follows: The most important thing is love, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit can be desired. Even among them, he exhorted to desire the gift that builds up the church, especially prophecy. And all gifts must be used for order and the benefit of the community. Therefore, looking at the Bible, it is clear that Paul exhorted us to desire prophecy, especially among the gifts of the Holy Spirit. However, at the center of all that was the fact that the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which brings salvation to souls, must be preached. Paul clearly states, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Love, established as the governing norm in chapter 13, is the standard that makes all gifts function as tools. Tongues can give benefit to the individual, but prophecy builds up the edification of the church. When viewed through the lens of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to amplify personal experiences, but it is a ministry that helps the community clearly understand the already completed gospel of salvation by testifying to the baptism of Jesus, the cross, and the gospel of the Spirit. Is not explaining and testifying the Word of God what gives the greatest benefit to the saints? But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. According to the teaching of the Bible, it can be said that explaining and testifying the Word of God gives a very great benefit to the saints. This is because the Word of God is the most important foundation that builds up faith and makes faith grow. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This word shows that the Word of God is not a simple religious text, but has the power to set a person's faith upright and change their life. When they understand and accept the Word, the saints come to grow within their faith. Also in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul says this to the elders of the Ephesian church. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Here Paul says that the prophetic word of God becomes the power that builds up the faith of the saints. In the early church as well, the work of testifying and explaining the word of the gospel of God was a very important ministry. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, explaining the life of faith of the early church, records, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The saints devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that is, the work of hearing and learning the word of God. Also in Nehemiah 8, it is recorded that when the word of God was read and its meaning was explained and interpreted, the people came to understand the word. This shows the fact that it is important not just to simply read the word, but to explain it so that it can be understood. Therefore, the work of correctly explaining and testifying the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit of God within the church brings benefit to everyone. First, it correctly builds up the faith of the believers. Second, it allows them to discern between the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit and falsehood. Third, it makes them change the direction of their lives to be God-centered. Fourth, it builds up the church of God healthily. Ultimately, at the center of the faith that the Bible speaks of, the saints always gain new strength when the Word of God is testified. When the Word of God is correctly understood and testified, the saints come to grow within faith, and the church also becomes more solid. Therefore, the work of explaining and testifying the Word of God can be said to be an important ministry that gives the greatest benefit to the saints. Paul brings in the imagery of musical instruments and human language. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? The core is simple. Incomprehensible words cannot convey the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a mystery to be hidden in ambiguity, but the word of the gospel that must be proclaimed and understood. This is exactly the reason why Paul told the believers to desire gifts, but above all, to strive to prophesy. Should not all spiritual gifts be something that gives benefit to others? Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say Amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 through 19. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This word explains the purpose for which the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given very clearly. Gifts are not for exalting the individual, but for the benefit of the community. God gave the saints different gifts so that they may serve one another and build up the church. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 speaks of the same principle. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here, it teaches that a gift is a gift of grace entrusted by God, and the person who has received it must use it to serve others like a steward. Therefore, the Bible presents important standards when using gifts. First, one must consider whether it fulfills the duties entrusted in the Church of God. Second, one must consider whether it becomes a benefit to others. Third, one must examine whether it is used within faith. In particular, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that no matter how great a gift may be, if it is used without love, it has no meaning. This means that only when a gift is used within the benefit of the community and love does it achieve the purpose intended by God. Ultimately, the principle the Bible speaks of is clear. All gifts given by God must be used not for oneself, but to build up others and give benefit to the community. The use of gifts in this way becomes the way to build the church healthily and give glory to God. Paul does not forbid speaking in tongues. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. The problem is not the gift of tongues itself, but the way it is used within the community. Tongues without interpretation might be helpful for personal prayer, but in public worship, interpretation is essential. Paul makes this clear. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. This is not limiting the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but a standard to protect the communicative ability of the gospel. Would it not be beneficial for born-again believers to serve with God's wisdom and faith within the church? Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 20 through 25. According to the teachings of the Bible, it is a very beneficial thing for born-again believers to serve with God's wisdom and faith within the church. This is because God did not leave the saints merely as beings gathered together, but called each person to serve one another and build up the church with faith and gifts. The Apostle Paul explains the purpose for which God placed various offices and ministries within the church in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, like this: "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." This word shows that the saints are called to play the role of building up the church through the work of service. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The gifts and faith given by God are not for personal boasting, but for serving one another and building up the community. There is an important standard when a born-again person serves within the church. It is service done with God's wisdom and faith. When serving according to God's word and faith, not human thoughts or one's own will, that service brings true benefit to the church. Also, such service brings several important fruits. First, the church community is built up more solidly. Second, the saints help one another and grow within faith. Third, glory is given to God. Even in the early church, the saints did not merely participate in worship, but served one another and built up the community. Looking at the records of Acts, we can see the appearance of the saints helping and serving one another, and the church being built up more strongly. Ultimately, for born-again believers to serve with God's wisdom and faith within the church is a very important matter that builds up the church and gives benefit to the saints. God gave each person faith and gifts so that they may cooperate with one another and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, Paul shows that while tongues primarily function as a sign for unbelievers, prophecy is a tool that makes one realize sin and leads to conversion. The decisive scene is this: "And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you." This is precisely the ministry of the Holy Spirit that the gospel of the water and the Spirit aims for. That is, it is not a ministry that overwhelms with amazing experiences, but a ministry that reveals sin through the Word and makes one clearly realize the salvation of Christ, leading to conversion. Is it not right that the worship God desires is to praise God, pray, and proclaim the Lord's will through the Word in accordance with order? How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. According to the teachings of the Bible, it can be said that the worship that pleases God is worship that praises God, prays, and proclaims the Word of God in order. This is because worship is not a simple religious ceremony, but a holy gathering that exalts God and reveals God's will. First, at the center of worship is praise toward God. The Psalms repeatedly exhort us to praise God. Psalm chapter 100, verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Praise is an important element of worship that acknowledges and exalts who God is. Also, worship includes prayer. The saints of the early church prayed together and relied on God whenever they gathered. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, describing the appearance of the early church, says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Prayer is an important part of fellowshipping with God during worship, and one of the most important elements in worship is the proclamation of God's Word. God reveals His will through the Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul exhorts, "Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season." The proclamation of the Word is a central ministry that builds up the faith of the saints and guides the church rightly. Furthermore, the Bible emphasizes that worship should be conducted in an orderly manner. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, Paul says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Because God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order, worship must also be conducted in order and harmony. Therefore, the worship God desires includes several important elements. First, praise that exalts God. Second, prayer that approaches God. Third, the proclamation of the Word that reveals God's will. Fourth, an orderly progression that builds up the community. Such worship is not a mere formality, but worship filled with heart and faith toward God. And through that worship, the saints come to know God more deeply and grow in faith. So it can be said that the worship that pleases God is worship that praises God, prays, and reveals God's will through the Word within order. Paul presents the governing principle of worship. Let all things be done for edification. Tongues should be spoken by two or at most three in turn, and only when there is an interpreter, and prophecy must also be done by two or three in turn with discernment. The reason is clear. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Order is not opposed to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but is the very way the Holy Spirit makes the gospel clear and understandable. Do you not think it is proper that when doing God's work in the church, both men and women work equally according to the gifts received from God? Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. Looking at the teachings of the Bible, it can be said that it is a proper thing for both men and women to serve according to the gifts received from God when doing God's work in the church. This is because God created humans as male and female, and even within the church, He gave gifts to each saint so that they may build up the church together. First, the Bible says that before God, men and women have an equal status within the grace of salvation. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says this: "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This word shows the fact that in Christ, All saints are a community that has become one in the same faith. Also, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not given only to men, but to all saints. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 18 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." This indicates the fact that God gives the work and gifts of the Holy Spirit to both men and women. In fact, even in the early church, there were women who were used by God. Figures such as Priscilla, Phoebe, and the four daughters of Philip appear in the Bible, and they also played a role in helping God's work within the church. Additionally, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The important standard here is not the difference between men and women, but how one uses the gift received from God. Therefore, when doing God's work in the church, what is important is to serve the community with the gift and faith given by God. God gave various gifts to many saints so that they may cooperate with one another and build up the church. Ultimately, the church is not built by the ability of one person, but is a community built when men and women, various saints, serve together according to the gifts received from God. In such cooperation, the church is built more healthily, and glory is returned to God. This passage deals with the order of public worship within a specific cultural and situational background. The point is not a hierarchical structure of gender, but the principle that speech causing disorder in public gatherings must be carefully governed. The gospel does not exist to silence anyone, but exists so that everyone may be built up in understanding. Is it not right to use all gifts properly, but do so according to order? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 37 through 40. According to the teachings of the Bible, it is right that all gifts are used properly and used in order. This is because the purpose for which God gave the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church is not to create confusion, but to build up the church and give benefit to the community. The Apostle Paul explains an important principle when using gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. He emphasizes that using gifts is not wrong, but that it must be used in the direction of building up the edification of the church. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, he says, "Let all things be done for edification." Also, Paul clearly says that order is important when gifts are used in worship and church gatherings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, he says, "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not one who wants confusion, but he wants worship and community that are accomplished in peace and order." So Paul concludes like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. "Let all things be done decently and in order." This word means that no matter how good the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, they must be used within a proper method and order. If gifts are used in a way that competes with each other or causes confusion, they will not be able to give benefit to the church. Therefore, the principle presented by the Bible is clear. First, gifts are precious presents given by God. Second, gifts must be used for the benefit of the church. Third, gifts must be used in order and harmony. When gifts are used in this way, the church is built more healthily, and the saints build up each other's faith and return glory to God. So the Bible teaches that using all gifts properly and acting in order is the right attitude. Paul declares authoritatively, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." And then he concludes this chapter with a balanced conclusion. It is to not forbid speaking in tongues, but to do all things properly and in order. This exhortation is comprehensive yet clear. Do not suppress the gifts, nor let the gifts become the cause of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 asks us today, "Is the work of the Holy Spirit that you earnestly desire something that makes people marvel with amazing experiences? Or is it making them understand the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, so that by believing in the Lord, they are saved from all sins and receive the Holy Spirit as a gift?"